Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Playoff baseball day has arrived in San Diego. Again, getting used to this feeling here in San Diego, and it feels great. It feels great, and by great, I mean excruciatingly terrible and horrible. Don't know how any of you guys slept last night. We'll get to that in a second. I was up every hour on the hour. Every single hour I woke up, looked at my phone. It was 12:30, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, and finally at 4, I just said, I'm getting up and coming to work. So welcome into Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right for playoff baseball today at Wrigley Field. I'm Woodsy. To my right, filling in for Paul Reindel, is Bald Reindel. Adam Klug, brand manager of 97.3 The Fan. Your hair is coming back in, though.
I'm due for a haircut to make the make the nickname fit.
Are you you mix it up, I notice. Bald.
No, I just,
do you usually go?
I'm just due for a haircut.
Who cuts your hair? Your wife?
I do it myself, and my wife finishes,
she gets the back.
Finishing touches. Yeah.
Do you do
Can't
like?
You
a,
tell that I cut my own hair?
I mean, I would too. Just to be fair, I would not go to a barber and be like, "Go ahead, do this." Like a blind guy could cut his own hair if his hair looked like that.
I use clippers. It's just
one. You go one, no guard.
I used to go no guard back when my hair was really, really short. I go with a two now.
Two guard, okay.
Leave a little hair on the top.
All right, yeah. I mean, it's still, you still got some lettuce up there, you know?
I mean, not like the old days.
Not like the old days, for sure. I get it. Nobody looked like you in the old days. Literally nobody. Well, you and some of the guys in the Commodores looked the exact same back in the 70s. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. Already seen in the chat. Weird vibe. Mucho stress. I feel it too.
Yeah,
it's
man.
It's not a normal day, and you can't treat it like it's a normal day because it's not. It's almost too important, and I get it. I mean, we're either going to be really, really happy in about 10 hours, or we're going to be really, really sad in about 10 hours, and there's really no in-between on a day like this.
Well, let me try to calm you down, everyone, a little bit. Just remember, it's not over. Today, it's not a one and done. It's not a one and done. So just relax. Yeah. Either way it goes. Don't go too hard if they win. And don't go too sad. You know, don't be too upset if they lose. Ask yourself, are the San Diego Padres capable of winning 2 out of 3 games? The answer is unequivocally yes. It's unequivocally yes. So that's what I keep thinking. I was walking out the door this morning, and I said to Hannah, I go, this is the best, and it's the worst, and we all know that. And she's like, 3 games. And I go, yeah. And I go, I wonder if it would be better if it was just one. You know, just one game, winner take all in the first round. Now, they did this, right?
They used to do it. It was a one-game wild card.
And I think I would have pissed and moaned. You play 162 games, and you get down here. I think I like the three.
But is there a huge difference between boiling it down to one or boiling it down to three, is what you're saying? Not much of a difference.
No.
It's still baseball's version of a roulette wheel. You know, when you get to the playoffs, and the best team is not going to win every 3-game series. They're just not. When you play a team, 6 times over the course of a year, what you're going to win 3, you're going to lose 3, you're going to win 4, you're going to lose 2. It doesn't determine necessarily who the best team is by playing a best-of-3 series.
But the thing is,
just who plays better this week.
You know, and Larry in the chat says, like Ben said before, every team that has won the first game goes on to win the series. Is that true? Every single one?
Every single one so far since 2022 when they developed the 3-game wild card series.
All right. Yeah. And again, here we are already thinking we're going to lose the game. But if they do lose the game, who has done better at losing the first game of a three-game series and winning the next two than the San Diego effing Padres this year. Who's done? Who's been better?
Either of you want to call this a must-win game?
No, it's not a must-win game.
I agree.
I would like to win it. It would be great to win it.
I like to think of it the other way. If they win, I'll be terrified that they'll still lose the next two.
That's fair.
I guess I have to be optimistic that if they lost, they could win the next two as well.
No question. No question about it. You know, there is a belief in this team. I know there's a belief in the locker room, certainly. Those guys believe in each other. What can you do with the mistakes that the Chicago Cubs make? That's what it boils down to. And can you play clean defense and can you run the bases well? I didn't listen to it entirely, but I saw Todd Strain. He works with Darnay Tripp, my beloved Darnay Tripp. And I saw, you know, how they put out like the video, they're doing a podcast and it has the words over it. So I didn't listen to it, but I saw it. It was like, basically the sentiment was, will all the bunting this year actually help the Padres in the playoffs? And let me say this. When the playoffs get here, you empty the tank. I still don't agree with sacrificing a guy from first to second in a playoff game. I really don't, unless it is absolutely necessary. But giving away those precious outs, I don't necessarily agree with. But man, if it's first and second, nobody out, and you know you want to play for two runs with the bullpen that you have, you know, by trying to get guys over, I'm okay with it. I really am. I think that they've employed that strategy so much this year, it's part of who they are and their identity. It could end up helping them win a series. You will not hear any bitching from me if they win games by giving away outs, you know, even actually early in a game, because it's just different in the playoffs.
Both Mike Schilt and Manny Machado said similar things yesterday. Mike Schilt saying, hey, we've already normalized playoff baseball.
They really
have. I think that kind of is a preview that you will see some strategic bunts.
Yep.
Maybe one or two that you're not all that happy about. I don't think early in the game it's still the best strategy, even in a playoff game. But as Manny said, now the goal, like it always is, but especially now, is finding a way to win by one run. And whatever way that run comes, if it's on a bunt, if it's on a ground ball that moves a runner over, if it's on a solo home run, he won't not mad about it. It's just you have to find a way just to win the game. It's not about the long term anymore. It's not about, hey, over the long haul, we keep doing this, we're going to be fine. It's now the short term. It's finding a way. And if it's, hey, taking advantage of an error, if it's moving a runner over from second to third with no outs on a bunt, and that wins you the game, no one's going to complain.
See, Sean is calling me out right now. He said, so bunts are okay now. Winning the game is the goal every day. I do agree that trying to win a game is the goal every single day. That being said, in the regular season, guess what exists? Tomorrow. Tomorrow exists. The playoffs are a different animal entirely, which is why, Sean, you see pitchers, hey, man, we just need you for 9 outs. On no planet do you pay a guy $30 million a year to get you 9 outs in the regular season. You just don't. So if you don't see the difference in playoff baseball and regular season baseball, I can't help you.
I think the difference for me, and again, I'm not looking for tons of early bunts.
No, please God, no.
If you're going to play 100 games and bunting early is going to lead you to win 47 of them and lose 53 of them, that's bad baseball.
Correct.
You want to do something that's going to lead you to win 53 and lose 47.
Correct.
But if you bunt early and it leads you to win one out of one as opposed to...
Done.
If it's one of the 47... You don't care how you get there.
That's
now.
Exactly right.
You just have to be one of those games that you win, and however you get there, it's fine now. You just have to get there.
The other thing is I feel such a gigantic sense of urgency with this three-game series. It's like do whatever it takes to get out of the three-game series, and once you're out of it, there's a lot more runway in a five-game
series.
This
is why I hate reporters, because they use words like urgency. This is a quote from Manny Machado. I don't know if you guys saw this audio yesterday. See, you, Adam, now are making...
I'm talking about as a fan.
I know, as a fan. You're making it bigger than it is. People got really mad at Manny's comments I did see yesterday or the day before, maybe. When in reality, to me, it does make sense. Like, he said essentially, man, and he's smiling when he said, this is why I hate reporters. Because you guys use words like urgency. He goes, it's just baseball. It's just baseball. We catch the ball, we throw the ball, we hit the ball.
Not to the fans, it isn't.
But that's the thing. It should be. And, like, it's really the best. It's the only way to play if you're a player. The only way. You cannot be like, you can't be on the toilet like we all are in a playoff game. You just can't. You have to be, hey, this is just another game. Now, I do realize I'm going to Cancun a little earlier than I normally would have if we don't compete well and win, but it's just another baseball game. I still have to catch and throw and hit, right? And so, obviously, he's speaking from a player perspective. But that way, that philosophy is really the best way to not only play baseball, it's the best way to do everything in your life. And I mean everything in your life.
I will say,
don't make it bigger than it is.
Over 162 games, are there going to be an inning or two where you maybe lose focus?
No question.
Of course, that's going to be the case.
And that's okay.
But you can't let that happen in a playoff game. But they're not going to. Manny Machado,
he's not
going to
fall asleep.
It's not going to be, oh, it's game 147 and I was just not locked in for a second or two. Yeah, that would be inexcusable in a playoff game, but that's not what he's talking about. He's not saying I can go and chase butterflies around the infield.
Right.
You know, because it's not that important. It's just baseball.
It's a great mental image.
Yeah. Well, he's Coach T-ball one time. You'll see it.
He's saying what you're saying, Woods, and that is the worst thing you can do right now is to try and change everything. You have to play baseball, the
That's
way
it.
That you've been taught it, the way that you've grown up playing it, the right way to play baseball hasn't changed because the regular season changes to the postseason. You could argue that in football or in basketball, yeah, they don't give everything the whole time in a regular season because they can't. But in baseball, you're kind of playing the game the whole way through. It's just that's how it is, and they will all be locked in for these games.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that the Padres will be locked in today. Again, doesn't mean you're going to win. It just doesn't mean you're going to win. You're playing as we learned yesterday, as we knew, but as was confirmed by Jesse Rogers, a volatile park. It's a volatile time of day to play a volatile baseball park. So weird stuff happens. There's a brick wall out there that's covered with ivy. And if a ball gets smoked into the gap and Gavin Sheets or Jackson Merrill or Fernando Tatis Jr. is running back, there's a brick wall behind them. And they know that that's a brick wall that I'm going to run into any second here. It changes the game. Weird, funky things happen in the playoffs all the time. But I do get the sense that you're going to get the San Diego Padres' best effort. That's one thing I do get the sense. Today, you will get their best effort.
But let me ask you a question. You're right. Manny Machado has to treat this just like any other game in order to perform. He's the talent on the field having to perform. But what about Mike Schilt? You think he's going to manage it like it's game 37?
He can't.
Exactly.
That's the point.
He can't.
He can't. He absolutely will. He says he will, but he can't.
He competes to win every game in the regular season, so why do things change in the postseason?
That's just something you say because that's not true. If you managed every game like the postseason, Mason Miller would have 138 appearances a year.
That's true.
You know what I mean? You just can't. It's just something you say. The mentality is there. It's kind of like I heard something once that blew my mind. We're always talking to players, you know, players and kids of any level and the big leagues on down, right? Oppo. Right? Get locked in, Oppo. The Oppo gap. Oppo gap. Oppo is a state of mind. That's all it is. It's a state of mind. You don't actually go up trying to hit the ball in the gap. It's a state of mind. Just like treating this game today like it's just another game, it's just a state of mind. Of course they're nervous. Of course they're excited. They know what the stakes are. It's just a state of mind of, I'm not going to make this any bigger than it is. The skipper, though, the skipper has to be on pins and needles. He has to. He has to be thinking 5, 10, 12 moves down the road.
But he also has to be careful not to
overmanage.
Correct. And overreact to these games as well. I think one of the most interesting dilemmas for Mike Schilt is going to be what happens, when one of his starting pitchers is pitching well.
That's like the worst thing.
Dylan Cease has been named.
It's definitely not the worst thing.
Dylan Cease
is the worst thing.
Dylan Cease has been named the game two starter. If he goes out and throws 3 1-2-3 innings to start the game, what do you do? What do you do in the fourth inning? You'd be crazy to take him out. But if you've looked at his numbers, you'd be crazy to leave him in. What happens if Dylan Cease throws
three perfect innings
to start the game tomorrow?
Context matters, Ben.
If you've won game one already and you have the lead in game two, maybe in the fourth or fifth inning, you just bring in the bullpen.
Yeah, pull him.
Like, it, like,
and you're losing, did you win or lose the same thing?
What's the score matters.
But you'll be second guessed. I mean, like Kevin Cash continually is about Blake Snell years later.
Years later.
What do you do if they're if he's pitching really well?
Like I said, it's the worst thing. It's just the worst. It's not, you know, again, it's not 1979 where you're like, hey, bud, I got a starting pitcher. You're going to throw 120 pitches, and I'm going to smoke a cigarette on the bench and wait for you to throw 120 pitches, and we'll see where we are at that point. It's not. It's,
I'm just saying it's not worse than him getting shelled.
It's he goes out and throws three perfect innings, and then Mike Schilt's like, guys hit like 500 off of him in the second time through the lineup. I'm pulling him.
Okay, so then do you want to use Michael King as a piggyback? Do you
want to
go King
maybe.
For three and Cease and, for three and King?
There's
for
a million three. Options. And again, like I think it's dumb to play scenarios forward until we've seen what happens tonight. I mean, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. But look, they have the bullpen to get the job done. Will it be deployed correctly is a question you can ask, and we won't know until we see it. Will they be effective? We don't know until we see it. Will the offense be able to score runs? We don't know until we see it. But I'm telling you, my whole thing is do what you have to do to win that game by one run. And if that means bunting, yes, do what you have to do, Schilty. But again, against the Rockies in the first inning, when Fernando Tatis Jr. gets a single, I don't want a three-time batting champion bunting. I don't. You know why? Because it doesn't matter at that point. Like, let that guy swing away. Play for a big inning. So it's not the same. Playoff baseball is a totally different animal. And you got to figure out, if you got to stick your elbow out and get hit by a pitch, you do what you have to do. So it's going to be so much fun, so excruciating. I am excited that there's an early game. Because it's, you know, kind of gets you in the feel, right? It's going to be Guardians and Tigers at 10 a.m. So you get home or you're at work or whatever, you do get a little taste of, you don't just go in cold, right? Like, just you're the first game, you're like, oh, this is well, untenable.
You mentioned leaving work, going home from work. Like, bosses have to let people off work for this game, right, at noon?
You would think so in San Diego, but I don't know.
Like, the boss who doesn't let his employees, I mean, look, unless you're running a restaurant or something.
Yeah, we did
like,
this yesterday the in the part. Open, and I it just would go a long way with me if my boss was like, not you guys, if I had a normal job, that they said, dude, I know you're a Padres fan. Just go watch a game.
But do they also let you off tomorrow and Thursday if the game is again at noon?
I think it comes back to you.
You're basically taking a vacation week at this point.
I think it comes back to you. No,
vacation month.
You work the morning. You know, you work the morning and then go, hey, man, go work from home for the rest of the day. If you're able. I think at that point, that makes me want to run through a wall for my boss. I'm super excited about being able to go and because, again, that 12:08 start time is a rough one. It's a rough one, and I totally get that. So a lot of you guys out there will be, like Ben said yesterday, surreptitiously listening on your earbuds right here on 97.3 The Fan. You can stream it at your desk. I mean, look, it's 2025. You can find a way to watch a game if you want to. For those of you, I saw one guy said, dude, we happen to have like a pre-agreed upon training from like 11 to 3:30. And I was like, I'm so sorry. You're going to get your noties on your phone. You can look down and check the score, but that's about it.
Or you can do a Chris Ello, record the game, and try to
avoid your phone
life for hours and hours and then go watch it. I don't know that that's even possible.
Got a in the chat, there's Megan, Paulie's wife, is checking in from headquarters. Thanks, Adam, for letting me have him today. Yeah, Paulie and Megan are moving into a new place today. Very happy for them. I'm happy for them, but I'm also not jealous of them at all because the move is really, really, it's a real baseball on top of that. It is about as bad as it gets.
Well, I know they're moving kind of down the 15 freeway. Yesterday there was a plane on that freeway.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, landed right on the 15, just down here, I think. It was very
everybody
close.
Okay?
Everyone was okay, I believe. It was a nice, safe landing in the middle of the freeway. Just before rush hour, which is usually perfect. Why don't we see how things are going this morning? And we'll set the menu after a quick check at traffic from Kelly Danick here on 97.3
The Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Kelly. We have a very busy Playoff Tuesday program for you today here on Ben and Woods. Coming up at 7 o'clock, our first of three guests from Wrigley Field. Jesse Agler, the voice of the Padres, will join us at 7 a.m. for a little early regular Tuesday feature, but a little bit early as he gets ready for his play-by-play with Tony Gwynn Jr. coming up at noon today here on 97.3 The Fan. 7:35, we moved our Linsider, Dennis Lynn, back. Going to talk about his piece on A.J. Preller that dropped yesterday, all the food quirks, the basketball playing, and the little nugget at the end that says, you know, A.J.'s job status isn't necessarily that firm in San Diego. With 1 year left on his contract, the powers that be are certainly evaluating A.J. based on how this postseason goes. And there's no guarantee that A.J. is back for the long haul, or even, I guess, next season is a possibility. I'd be surprised, you know, based on what they've done this year. But I think A.J.'s done a pretty darn good job as general manager. But at some point, you do have to win the championship that you've promised, and you only get so many bites at the apple. So that'll be an interesting topic with Dennis Lynn coming up at 7:35.
Yeah, it was certainly an interesting topic yesterday. Our man Darren Smith, who we have on every Friday, put out a little audiogram. He did something on his podcast talking about it. And he said, essentially, you know, I don't want to misquote him, but he said he's not going to be surprised if A.J. Preller is not back. And, you know, I was talking to some buddies about it yesterday, and I thought, man, if you had said 5 years ago, I would have said, fine, it's time, right? Like, let's get a new voice. Now I look at it and go, ooh, man, I don't know how I would feel. I don't think I would feel very good at all. There's that line, Ben, of how long do you give somebody to finish the job? And are you headed in the right direction? And there's definitely arrows that point to no, but there's huge arrows that point to yes. You know, the fact that we just won 90 games again for the second year in a row, I think firing your general manager when seemingly, you don't want to say he's figured it out. We do have the worst farm system in baseball, but that's also kind of how we made the playoffs. And we have ultimate confidence in A.J. Preller to rebuild said farm system as he's done every year. I think you would miss him. I think you would miss him. And I think I would give the guy, I'd give the guy another 3 to 5 easily. I wouldn't even think twice about it.
If you get rid of him, would another team snatch him up?
In a New York minute.
That's all you need
and
to
I
know.
And I do mean New York. York
minute, yeah.
And
but
I do mean New York.
Isn't that all you need to know?
In a second.
No, I think here's the question that I think you need to have answered. And it's true. A.J. Preller has had a much longer leash than almost every executive in baseball, thanks to one Peter Seidler.
Yeah.
Who gave him.
We thought Peter was crazy, didn't we?
An incredibly long leash. But the question that you need to ask is not would he be hired somewhere else, not does he deserve to stay. The question is, do you think you can find someone better?
Correct.
If the answer is yes, then A.J. should be gone tomorrow. If you think you have someone better, who can do a better job of winning a World Series here in San Diego, so long, A.J.
Purple says he's had...
Who's that person, though? I have no idea, and I think it'll be very difficult to find that person that you think is definitely better than A.J. Preller.
Purple said he's had a decade, accomplished nothing. This is insane. There are layers to accomplishments. There are. If it's World Series or bust, you're right. He's failed miserably. Miserably. But again, there are layers of it. This feels fun to me. Talking again, you know, playoffs fourth time in 6 years is fun to me. I like that.
Let's continue this discussion. Yeah. We'll take a little time out because I think it's an important discussion. Going to occupy our 6:30 segment coming up here. We also have in-season Sammy's going to join us from Wrigley Field at 8 o'clock, and we will carry live the day of press conferences. Mike Shildt will speak again at 8:45. Dylan Cease, the Game 2 starter, is going to talk. Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to talk. That'll all come around the 8:45 to 9:30 window. So we will go live to Wrigley Field for the pregame news conferences from Game 1 of the National League Wild Card Series. Our regular features as well, Don't Do This, Take on Woods, chance to qualify for the Sphere tickets at the Eagles in Las Vegas, and more. All coming up on a Playoff Tuesday. Big day, San Diego. We're here for you. It's Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A walk-up song for Charlie Blackmon, Padre Killer, for many, many years. Pretty big announcement for Bennett Woods right now.
Yes.
Tease ahead.
Big day tomorrow, of course, here at 97.3 The Fan. But part of that big day will include a little postseason analysis in studio from one Buddy Black is going to join us.
Charlie Blackmon's old manager.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's going to come in, talk a little playoff baseball, see what Buddy's been up to.
Oh, I can't wait.
One of the many skippers in baseball who are tier ones. Love having Buddy in and going to show us his love after, of course, he parted ways with the Rockies earlier this year. What does the future have in store for Buddy Black? He'll talk some Padres. He'll talk some NL West and talk some playoff baseball with us tomorrow. Of course, tomorrow is also our big watch party. You can join Ben and Woods, the Braden Soprenich Show, the Gwynn and Chris Show for a postseason watch party at Park 101 in Carlsbad, PRK 101, to watch Game 2, San Diego, Chicago. Park 101, a bi-level sports bar with a rooftop deck and huge screens. North County's best barbecue, craft cocktails, and we'll be giving away autographed baseballs, all presented by Estrella Jalisco Light Mexican Lager. Join us tomorrow at Park 101, located at 3040 Carlsbad Boulevard in the Carlsbad Village.
Somebody tweeted me, they go, wait, autographed baseballs? Because we said, hey, Ben's going to be there, I'm going to be there, Paulie's going to be there. Who are the autographs? We're not autographing.
Okay, I don't think we can say on the air who we're giving away, but I would think
Oh, I can say.
Oh, you can say. Thank you, Adam.
I've got a ball signed by Yu Darvish.
Ooh.
A ball signed by Joe Musgrove.
Nice.
And a ball signed by Jake Cronenworth that we'll be giving away tomorrow.
One an hour, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Okay. I may take the Yu Darvish one just for myself.
You have to fight Woodsy for it.
Fight me for Yu Darvish ball is a really good bit.
Get it? Because
we're not on the air, so we can do like some. I know you like video viral content. Fist fight to the not the death, but nothing above the neck, and then the winner
so you tap out.
The winner gets. Ooh, we should do one of those slap fight. Slap things.
You have to hold.
You
still
have to hold still
and then person slap
whack.
You.
Would you do that ever?
That's my nightmare.
Let's do
it.
I don't like getting hit in the face.
I really don't like getting hit in the face.
Let's do it at the Christmas and holiday extravaganza. Please.
We
need ideas.
No. I'm taking a stand on this one. I hate getting hit in the face. I hate getting like...
When's the last time you got hit in the face?
Just accidentally, like, you just... I don't even like getting, like, accidentally flicked in the face. To get slapped in the face is, like, my nightmare.
Really?
Oh, I hate anything.
Have you ever been slapped in the face full on?
Accidentally, I think, kind of, you know, but not...
Who accidentally slaps you in the face?
I don't know. Like my brother when we were fighting. He wasn't going for like the face.
He wasn't trying to hit you.
He wasn't trying to hit me in the face. But don't want to. I don't understand how those guys do it in those videos.
I can't stop watching.
I could not hold myself still and let someone hit me in the face.
Bro, you got to close your eyes.
I guess so.
You just have to close your eyes. And just, which is even worse because you can kind of see it coming. You can brace yourself. All right, well, I'll probably just give the Yu Darvish ball away then, since Ben doesn't want to engage in any slap fighting.
No, I don't.
would you rather do a Would you rather do a punch in the arm hard? Because I don't like that.
No, I'd rather be punched in frogged. The arm hard.
I don't like being frogged.
I don't like it, but way better than anything in the face.
Oh, it's good. Good, good, good. All right.
Buddy in good company, though, because not, you know, only guy with a resume out of a job today.
Yeah.
Bruce Bochy announced yesterday that he will not return as the Rangers manager. Now, his contract was up after three seasons, and after meeting with Chris Young, they decided to go separate ways. I get the sense that Boch would have been interested in coming back, but Chris Young was like, I think we've run our course here after 3 years. You can argue, there's no better ever managerial signing than what they got for Bruce Boch.
Right.
You got a World Series title, yep. Signed him for 3 years. He played out his 3 years, and now you move on. You didn't have to extend him. You gave him. You got exactly what you wanted out of Bruce Bochy.
You got a World Series title, your first World Series title in franchise history, and then a couple of did they make the playoffs the year after? No, they didn't.
They missed the playoffs the last 2 years.
The last two.
Disappointing last 2 years, but now you can, because of that, move on freely to the next iteration of Rangers baseball.
Obviously, there's a lot of smoke going on in San Francisco now because Bob Melvin was also dismissed yesterday after getting... Now, he didn't get an extension. They picked up his option mid-season. And then they just said, we picked up your option. We're going to eat that option and feel free to sit
imagine
on the...
Imagine being able to light money on fire like that.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, just be like, change our mind.
But, I mean, what a good get. What a good... Those contracts are so elite. If I had, because we have what, a year and a couple
Don't
months
even
left.
Look at me over there.
Yeah, we have a year and a couple months left. You fire me today, and I sit on my ass for a year until I get another gig and get paid. It's the greatest gig of all time.
I don't think our contracts are guaranteed like that.
We get about 90 days, so that's super fun. You can give us a 10-year deal. It really boils down to about 90 days.
Yeah.
So you sign me for 10 years.
I know the rumor is out there that Boch could return to San Francisco.
So that's the smoke, but I. Listen, I follow a lot of Giants fans. I follow a lot of Giants reporters. The sentiment I got was this. If I could sum it up in a sound, it was, he's obviously beyond a legend in San Francisco, right? Has he lost his fastball?
Won a World Series.
Won a World Series two years ago, right? But I think... Buster was talking about we're in the memory making business here. What's a better memory for Giants fans than Bruce Bochy leading the team? I just don't know. I actually fear for Buster's sake, unless he's 100% in, it makes so much sense that he's probably feeling beholden to do it.
I'm curious what the real circumstances were leaving the first time for Bruce Bochy in San Francisco. Now, this was before Buster Posey had taken over as president of baseball operations. It was framed as Boch retiring. Like, he needed to step away, health. You know, it was just time to move on from San Francisco. But... when he took the job with the Rangers, what was it, 2 years later, you more got the sense, well, was he really pushed out the door a little bit in San Francisco? Because he wasn't
right.
He wasn't content in retirement.
Which happens.
Maybe he changed his mind. That happens to people who retire and realize, no, I got more to give. I want to come back. And, you know, my old job's been taken, so I'm ready to go somewhere else. Would San Francisco want exactly to have him back? I don't know the answer to that question.
What's the minimum amount of time you have to... whether it's Bochy committing to it or the organization be willing to accept when you bring in a guy like that, because it reminds me of Bill Belichick when he was trying to get another NFL job and people were like, well, how long are you going to be around? We got to change the entire organization and then you're going to be gone in 2 years, 3 years.
The Giants would be more than happy to get a 3-year deal in one more World Series out of Bruce Bochy, just like the Rangers did.
Anybody would be happy with 3 years and a World Series, but what if he doesn't know and can't commit to that?
If you can't commit to 3 years, you better have a well-defined succession plan in place. I wonder if the Rangers did. I mean, the rumor, of course, is Skip Schumacher, who was hired
Bochy's 70. Just look it up.
Yeah. 70. The rumor is Skip Schumacher hired as the special assistant for the Rangers is in line for the job. But as we've heard from Skip many times, you know, he likes being here in California. He was still based in California for that job.
Yeah, I think he went to Texas like twice.
You would not be able to be based in California while managing the Rangers all season.
You mean I can't do this from home here in Orange County? I can't do it? Okay.
yell at the umpires. Just take an iPad out and I'll yell at the umpires that way from home. That's not going to work.
FaceTime.
So I don't know if Skip Schumacher is definitely the next manager of – he might have a better chance of being the next manager of the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
Maybe than the Texas Rangers. We really don't know the answer to that question, but you'd have to have a succession plan in place. If you hire a 70-year-old Bruce Bochy
– yes.
Who's the bench coach? Who's the manager in waiting? Who's your Brian Dutcher to your Steve Fisher? In that case, if you're age 70, I would think that you'd have you're hiring two managers essentially if you hire Bruce Bochy at this point.
It's wild because everybody thought in Miami when Skip was there, and then they also hired Gabe Kapler. Everyone was super surprised when Skip left, and they didn't hire Kapler; they hired Clayton McCullum. Instead, the Dodgers, one of the old Dodger coaches, he did a pretty fine job for them this year, all things considered. So, yeah, what oftentimes makes the most sense isn't what happens. Now, Buster Posey may not want to deal with a 70-year-old Bruce Bochy anymore, right? Like, maybe they did. Obviously, that was his skipper. He has massive respect for him. They won a lot of World Series together. I wonder if Buster has that nagging, gnawing feeling where it's like, okay, like, I guess I kind of have to do this now. Like, I have, like, everybody expects me to do it. I kind of have to do it. But again, it's up to Boch if he wants to keep going. And again, Buddy Black was a name I saw thrown out yesterday for the Giants as well. And I went, okay, well, that's interesting. We'll ask Buddy all of this stuff tomorrow when he's in studio for an hour.
And one other manager?
I bet you we can get him to stay longer.
Probably.
Than an hour.
Yeah, he's already down here.
We'll ply him with all the delicious food and catering that we have.
Too bad we don't have a round table tomorrow.
Yeah, 100%.
One other good manager, I think a good manager, who got a pink slip yesterday is Rocco Baldelli.
That's tough, man.
Didn't end well the last couple of seasons with the Twins, but
I like that dude.
Ownership problems as well. Just really good baseball guy. Everyone speaks so highly of Rocco, and I do believe he will get another job. Will it be this offseason? I'm not sure, but I don't think you've seen the last of Rocco Baldelli as a Major League manager. So those were the Black Monday moves yesterday in Major League Baseball. We will talk more about A.J. Preller's status and whether he could be, worried about losing his job coming up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. I think one thing that we have to figure out before we discuss A.J. Preller's future is exactly who is making the decision on A.J. Preller's future. I guess right now you'd say John Seidler has the final say. I would imagine CEO Eric Grubner is part of that decision-making process about A.J. Preller's future.
Remind people why you're talking about A.J. Preller's future.
Because,
Did he just air check you in the middle of your own show?
No, it's not an air check.
He just air checked you. Reset, Ben. Does that bring back bad memories from Mighty 1090?
Dennis Lynn from The Athletic, who's going to join us at 7:35, wrote about A.J. Preller extensively yesterday, including talk that, his future with the San Diego Padres is less than secure with 1 year left on his deal. And A.J. himself deflected questions on the last homestand about a possible extension, said, hey, we're not talking about that right now. We're not focused on that right now.
Keep our focus on the field.
I don't know if they're that smoke or not, or simply good GMing to, not talk about yourself at an important part of the season. But the questions will remain until A.J. Preller gets an extension. And then our friend Darren Smith on his podcast, laid out a scenario where he thinks A.J. Preller's job is very much in jeopardy, possibly this season if the Padres make a quick exit in the postseason, a disappointing end for, a second year in a row in the playoffs. So I think the first thing you have to do is who's making that call? John Seidler, Eric Grubner, are they the ones that are probably making that call? Remember, we still have the lawsuit that we haven't heard about in months since before the season involving ownership of the San Diego Padres in probate court. I don't think it's moved along much, but it hasn't gone away either. I do know that, I think Sheil Seidler and A.J. have been pretty close based on what I've seen over the years. I don't know if that affects A.J.'s future at all as well. So who makes that decision is the first question. Now, if it's ownership and it's John Seidler, would you guys agree that there's a lot of owners around baseball who would go and look at the job that A.J. Preller has done and go, yeah, he didn't win a World Series, but man, they sell out every single game at Petco Park. I wish my GM could put together a team that sells out my ballpark every single game. To me, that looks like he's the most successful general manager in baseball, because I'm the owner, and while I'd love to win a World Series, I'd love to win a World Series because, well, that should fill my ballpark. But he's doing it without even winning the World Series. Huh. That's interesting. Doesn't that make A.J. Preller more successful than any other general manager in baseball? If that's ultimately, you know, it's a business, right? And if you're getting tons of people in the door, you're successful in what you're doing as a business leader.
72, 73 sellouts this year?
72.
72
think, yeah.
Sellouts this year? I mean, that's no joke, man. That's no joke. And you're right. You're telling me Bob Nutting wouldn't want 73 sellouts in Pittsburgh, you know, and
he might not be able to stomach how they got there by spending some money. But
the Baltimore Orioles, with all their young talent, you know, that they refused to trade. I mean, what would the Orioles look like right now if A.J. Preller was the GM the last two seasons? They'd be in the postseason today, bar none.
No doubt.
Unequivocally in the postseason today, if A.J. Preller had taken over the Baltimore Orioles job after the disappointing 2023 season here, where all the high-paid stars refused to win and make the playoffs, he gets canned, Baltimore hires him. They're in the postseason today as one of the favorites. Guaranteed. I would put my house on it, right? With all that talent that he could have traded away, built a roster, money to spend, there's no question. There's no question. He gets snatched up, Ben. If he's fired at 5, he's on the phone by 6, working out a new deal with Boston, with New York. Somebody will hire that guy ASAP. 5 years ago, if you had said, it's time for a new voice, and I think maybe we did 5 years ago, I said, I agree. I do agree. Over these 5 years, I have seen some playoff teams. I've seen really good runs. At some point, it has to be on the players. It really is always on the players. AJ has had resources, certainly. He's also been able to squeeze the rag of resources better than anybody else has been able to do it, in my opinion. When they've limited his resources, he still found a way to get it done. He still get good talent here through his laborious scouting and his detail-oriented scouting.
Remember, payroll went down after 2023 considerably, and AJ put the win total up.
Yes.
You know, two back-to-back 90-plus win seasons after having his payroll slashed after 2023.
And so again, man, listen, I think for all of it, we're probably all better at our jobs in year 10 than we were in year 1. We are. We've learned. We have a little bit more wisdom. I think it would be malpractice to let this guy go right now. I really do. I really do. And I hope he stays. And I know that, you know, the World Series are bust. I am a World Series are bust guy. He has not gotten the job done. And he would be the first guy to tell you we haven't gotten the job done there. But I think to start from ground zero.
Well, again, the question is, who are you going to hire that you think is better? Are you giving a green assistant GM their first shot?
Some kid out of Yale or something, then we have to go
through another 6 years of learning process while he gets his feet under him and figures out, you know, to get to the level where A.J. Preller got to after so many years? I don't know that I want that.
Matty says A.J. has his hooks deep in the morning show. Matty, he doesn't even like us, all right? So, like, we don't really have that kind of relationship. But that's not it at all, really. It's like I watch this and I go, I start to like the guy more and more every time I talk to him, and I start to appreciate the job that he's done more and more.
There's an absolute chance that the bottom falls out in the next couple of years. I mean, you know, the farm system runs dry.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
The aging players who have been signed to mega deals, you know, drop significantly in production.
Absolutely.
There is a scenario where the Padres become a sub-500 team for a couple of years, and you get some dark days ahead, and that would be on A.J. Preller. You know, the one thing that he's been trying to do sustainable, but he's been robbing Peter to pay Paul, literally, for a while. He was robbing Peter Seidler,
yeah, to pay
to
Paul.
Play Manny and pay you and to pay Fernando. He was robbing Peter to pay all of them. And at some point, the bill does become due. Now, he also continues to reload the farm system every single time with new talent that he can then trade away for controllable players. I mean, I thought next year was going to be trouble, but now, you know, Ramon Laureano is coming back. Yeah. Nick Pivetta is, you know, signed for next year. Joe Musgrove should be back next year. Next year looks pretty promising for the San Diego Padres. I mean, we're not done with this year, but I'm certainly not thinking next year is the year the bottom drops out. He keeps pushing that window further open and continues to keep it open down the line. So he's doing something right.
Who's the best general manager in baseball? Should be an easy. We cover baseball for a living. Who is the best general manager in the game of baseball today? Should be an easy one.
It's not an easy one.
Exactly. Exactly. Who's the best? Is it
Andrew Friedman?
It's got to be Andrew Friedman because nobody
more resources
would,
than God.
Nobody would sign Tanner Scott to a $72 million deal. Wait, Andrew Friedman did. Nobody would not bolster their bullpen at the deadline with a glut of prospects to choose from. Oh, wait, Andrew Friedman did. He makes great moves. He also has unlimited resources. Unlimited. He can make any move he wants on the
Brewers
planet.
GM. Well, they seem to be.
He's pretty good.
He's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, yeah. He's Chris Antonetti, maybe. Does that sound right? He's really good. He's good. Is he the best? How many World Series has he won?
Matt Arnold.
Matt Arnold. Who's Chris Antonetti? Is it their old one?
I think he's in Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland. Yeah. He, another good one.
And who does a good
another
job.
Good one. Again, with limited resources. So, again, it is... It's kind of a tough question to answer.
Before we go, as we head to the top of the hour, we got a giveaway early in the show today. We got tickets for the NBA exhibition game coming up this weekend. Nuggets, Timberwolves at Pechanga Arena on October 4th. If you want to win, call right now. Sixth caller, 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Tickets on sale now at AXS.com. Nuggets, Timberwolves will be back next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.